let M be an orientable compact hyperbolic three manifold. With boundary of M totally geodesic. Right, and you know, one sort of basic question that we'll be concerned with is so you know, particular boundary of M is a hyperbolic surface that has a particular hyperbolic metric on it. So one question is, you know, what hyperbolic metrics, what hyperbolic surfaces appear like this? Okay. So one question is, which surfaces are boundaries? Right, and another basic sort of question is, what does the metric on the boundary have to do with M and its topology? So how do these things interact? And sort of more generally, we might be interested in similar type of question. Maybe I'll say more about it in a minute. So what? So like, what's quasi some particular, yeah, totally geodesic boundary? That the boundary subgroup is a Fuchsian group. And more generally, you can allow for quasi Fuchsian boundaries. So what quasi Fuchsian groups appear? And then you could ask this question again: What does the topology have to do with it? So one theorem in this direction is due to Brooks. So Brooks has this theorem that says that a certain very special type of hyperbolic structures on a surface are dense in the Teichner space of the surface. So he has this theorem that says that what are called circle packing hyperbolic structures on a surface S are dense in the Teichner space. Say after you pick a market. And then I don't really have time to talk about what this is, but then there's a construction. So given a circle packing surface, you can build a hyperbolic manifold. So you say this Riemann surface is sigma. You can build a hyperbolic manifold M with totally geodesic boundary. Isometric to a copy of sigma and a copy of sigma bar. So just straight from the circle packing, you know, you build this manifold that looks like this. So sigma is compact. The manifold, actually, the manifold you build has cusps. Yeah. So we know that these types of surfaces that I haven't told you what they are dense in the Teichner space, and then the surfaces that appear on a manifold like this are dense in the Teichner space. And if you don't like cusps, you know, you can fill them in, and then the boundaries will limit to sigma, and so you actually get this you know, you get manifolds without cusps forming a dense subset of the Teichinger space. So now there's an issue. So we ask this question, you know, which hyperbolic surfaces appear as the boundary? And so there's the problem here is that we constructed a manifold that has two boundary components. Right? So that's not quite what we wanted. So there's the theorem of Fuji and Soma. It says that totally geodesic, I'll just paraphrase here, totally geodesic boundaries are dense. In the Teichinger state. Okay. So there's some issue. You have to, I mean, you could just cap this off with something, you know, that has some totally geodesic boundary, but, I mean, you might have screwed this up. So there's something non-trivial to say there, and maybe I'll have time to tell you sort of how the argument goes in a minute. So, right, with respect to the quasi-Fuchsian question, so Brooks, you know, has this, you have this construction to build a manifold like this, so now maybe I should have a little notation. So we'll let GF of M be the geometrically finite hyperbolic structures on it without parabolics on the boundary or something. And then, so I guess, thanks to Dick's talk, I guess, this is, you know, M is always as over there, and I guess we'll assume we don't have any parabolics. And then by alphas and bears and or bears and everybody else, this is just the Teichinger space of the boundary. And so we'll often confuse hyperbolic metric on M with, you know, a point in Teichinger space or the uniformizing Kleinian group. And then if and then we'll write QF of F to be the geometrically finite structures on a surface cross I, and then, you know, a special case of this big theorem is the simultaneous uniformization theorem, and so we have that it's just this product like this of the Teichinger space of the surface and the Teichinger space of the mirror image. So again, Brooks tells us that there is a dense set of for a particular point in here, I'll just say QFXY. So there's a dense set of these guys in the quasi-Fuchsian space. That appear as in the following picture. So it's the same picture again. So you have some topology. And then, except now, instead of having a totally geodesic boundary, you know, these boundary subgroups look like X, and then the inner boundary is Y. And then I guess on the other side you have, it kind of looks like Y bar and then X bar. So this is Brooks again. So what he proves is that given any, you know, convex Kokelbach Kleinian group, there's an arbitrarily small quasi-conformal deformation that puts you inside a co-compact lattice. And then, so you've got the surface in there, and so you can cut open one. So basically, you just take your quasi-Fuchsian group, you perturb it a little, and then his construction puts that surface in there as a non-separating surface, and then you cut open and get this. Okay. So again, if we want to find a dense set of quasi-Fuchsian groups that actually bound, there's a more subtle bounding problem now. So it's similar as before what Fuji and Soma had to face. But now, you know, we could just cap off with something, but again, I mean, there's even more sort of going on now. Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, so then we have the following Fujin-Soma style theorem. So the set of quasi-Fuchsian groups XY that appear as the only boundary subgroup of a geometrically finite manifold is dense in quasi-Fuchsian space. So does that make sense? So you give me any quasi-Fuchsian group you like, and I can perturb it slightly to make it the boundary subgroup of something, some geometrically finite thing that only has that one boundary subgroup. Okay. Okay, so that's the end of the beginning. So, I mean, this is sort of a, all this stuff I said is sort of a facade. So what I'm really interested in are the tools that you use to prove this theorem. So what I'm really interested in is the skinning map. Question? Okay. So, right, so say we have our manifold, we have our M, right? Okay. So we have our M, and so we have the space of geometrically finite structures on M. Well, that's just the Tychonoff space of the boundary. And then there's a map. Well, I guess I should have written it the other way. So, okay, so that's what I just said. And then there's a map from the geometrically finite structures on M to the quasi-Fuchsian space of the boundary. It's just the Tychonoff space of the boundary. That's the Tychonoff space of the mirror image. And what is this map? Well, if you have M, and then you have some geometrically finite structure on it. Well, there's a covering space corresponding to the boundary. And so if you have if this hyperbolic structure is given by X, you pass to this cover, well, you still see X sitting on that end, but this cover is a quasi-Fuchsian manifold, and so at the other end there's some other conformal structure. So this map here is just given by passing, just lifting the hyperbolic structure, and then right, and then there's the projection onto the second factor. So this is projection. Gives you what's called the skinning map. So this composition is called sigma sub M, and that's the skinning map. And so this is sigma M of X sitting over here. So the picture is that when you stand in this manifold and you look out at infinity, you see some conformal structure on the boundary. But then if you turn around and you have really piercing eyes, you look way deep into the manifold, and buried in there is some other Riemann surface. Okay? And it's all caught up in the topology of the manifold. Okay. Okay. if you don't like this geometric picture, you can think analytically, and maybe I'll just mention what this what's happening. So here's M. And here's your geometric, here's your surface at infinity. And then you have this quasi-Fuchsian cover. This is X. And then you have the universal cover. You know, with like, so the domain of discontinuity. It's a complement of some funny Sierpinski gasket. And so you have this domain covering X, and then what's the skinning surface? So the Teichner space of a surface, you can think of it as a space of equivalence classes of Beltrami differentials. And you can pull this back to get a Beltrami differential up here that I'll still call mu, and then you can transport this around by the Kleinian group, and you get things that are sort of like mu all over the place. And then this disk, you know, covers this skinning surface, and so over here you see the surface filled up with what McMullen calls leopard spots. And so this actually gives you some funny, you know, you get, so you, so at this mu, the Beltrami differential, gives you some differential on the skinning surface. Okay. So that's sort of an analytic picture of the skinning map. And then you just take its Teichner equivalence class to get the map. Okay. Okay, so that's what the skinning map is. And at present, there's not much known about this map. So this comes up in Thurston's proof of geometrization for Hocke manifolds. So he proves the following remarkable theorem. It's called the bounded image theorem, and it says that the image of the skinning map has compact closure. So this is used to find a fixed point for an, you know, you iterate. When you cut out, when you're running through geometrization, you get this map on Teichner space. And this allows you to find a fixed point, which gives you the geometric structure. So this is... Yeah, it's always acylindrical in this talk, yeah. Yeah, so this statement isn't true if M has a cylinder in it. Okay. So, right. Well, so, yeah, so, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you can think of this as an infinitesimal differential, and then you pass over here and you take the infinitesimal class, and that's a derivative of the skinning map. But, I mean, you can just work with Teichner classes. So if you just take a, just work with pure differentials, and then, you know, move it around and then pass to the Teichner class. If you want. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yeah, and so there isn't much more known. So it's actually a neat exercise. So it's easy to show, right? So easy to show, well, easy to show that the skinning map is contracting. And then McMullen proves analytically that sigma m is uniformly contracting. And actually, this is this statement is enough to prove geometrization. Actually, you need some statement about the cylindrical case. Let's not worry about that. Okay. So there's not too, there's some other things that are known, but not too much. And one thing, the following theorem. So this is an, I guess you could call it an approximation theorem or something. Okay, so given a point in the Teichinger space and an epsilon and an r greater than zero, there's a manifold with totally geodetic boundary, so M with such as the following. So the distance in the Teichinger space of the boundary between the Riemann surface he gave me and the boundary of M is less than epsilon. And the diameter of the skinning map of M applied to the ball about x of radius r is also less than epsilon. So the way you should think of this is anywhere in the Teichinger space you can find a manifold whose boundary is close to that and whose skinning map is contracting as much as you want on a really gigantic set. So notice I don't know that the diameter of the image of the skinning map itself is less than epsilon. And that's basically because proving the bounded image theorem is kind of tough. That's right. Okay? Okay, so now using this theorem, you can very quickly prove this theorem here. Oh, this is great. Proof. Okay, so you give me QF X, I'll call it XY bar. And my job is to find a manifold whose quasi-Fuchsian boundary is close to that. Okay, so, right. So let's look at this theorem, right? Well, first of all, x, let's see. So y is contained in some ball about x. For some r. So you gave me this quasi-Fuchsian group on epsilon. Right. So now I pick my manifold with totally geodesic boundary close to y. Okay. So pick. So by approximation theorem, pick m with geodesic boundary close to y and satisfying this contraction. Okay. So now I need a picture. Okay, so now right, so you have this manifold. And the boundary is close to y. Okay. But now you can just do a quasi-conformal deformation from y to x. Right. So, you know, deform to X, right? But the skinning image of both of these are within epsilon of each other. So sigma m of y is within epsilon of the skinning image of x. So this is so y is in here somewhere. Do you see that? Okay. So that's the little proof of this this density theorem given this highly contracted. Now So the strategy of this construction is, well, when you stand in the manifold and you look in towards the skinning surface, and someone does a quasi-conformal deformation at infinity behind you, right? I mean, like, when you shine light, like, through the deformation, and it's coming down past you and then maybe going into the manifold, and then you can see some of the skinning surface. You know, so you see the deformation a little bit. So maybe the skinning map is moving a little bit. And so what you want to do is you want to pick a manifold with a really, really deep collar so that sort of the light, you know, takes forever to sort of get back to you, and it's really dim, you know, when you look into the manifold. Now, that's sort of a lie, and the proof is sort of a bit more complicated than that. But that's sort of the philosophy. And then, right, so you can actually, I mean, basically what you do is you take this picture, and you want to sort of estimate the norm of the, you know, how big this skinning differential is. But I mean, you know, so you're going to have to do some integral you're going to have to integrate against some quadratic differential. But the problem is, I mean, this is just sort of impossible. You can't analyze this differential. So what you want to do is just make most of it go away. So that's sort of the analytic idea. That's way too fast. Anyway. Okay, so then I'll just state another theorem and then I'll quit. So using this approximation theorem, we also can prove the following openness statement. So there exists M whose skinning maps are open maps. And moreover, you can take the derivative of the skinning map to be an isomorphism at the totally geodesic boundary metric. And so, this is also sort of complicated. So now you need to sort of measure the derivative somehow, and you actually need to know that there exists a manifold with totally geodesic boundary whose fundamental group is Lerth, and which is kind of interesting. You really only need the first, so you don't have to use tandem. If you don't want to. But you do have to use Egil, Wong, and Reed, I guess. So Ian gets a little more credit there. And then, right, and you sort of have to work in the universal Tychonoch space and think about Poincaré series a little bit and use this cool theorem from 1885 by a gentleman named Runge about approximating analytic functions. But anyway, there's a lot of sort of neat stuff that goes into the proof, and I guess I'm out of time. Yeah, so I mean, the Gefurfness, I think, conjecturally is not an obstruction, right? So that's not a big deal. But I mean, the way you use Gefurf, I mean, what you do is you take this huge cover and then you get all these new boundary components. So you take this huge cover so that you can solve the problem, when you only work with one boundary component. You go to this gigantic cover and then you have to cap off. So I mean, they're really sort of gigantic manifolds. So, but I mean, I have heuristics, so heuristic means that, there are arguments that use theorems that aren't true, that says that the skinning map should always be open. So there's sort of like, you do this covering thing, and then, you want to do a lot of counting, and then like geometric inflexibility, but it's also delicate that you're never going to make it work. But it sort of seems like some, I don't know, maybe God knows that they're open. But yeah, so I would guess that it's always open. But I mean, I would guess that also this isomorphism thing of the derivative is sort of not generic, or maybe it's generic. But I mean, there should be examples where the derivative has kernel. That's what I mean by isomorphism. At this one point. Yeah. No, I don't know that. Yeah. So all what you do is you prove it's open. By proving that it has degree one at the totally geodesic boundary point, and since it's holomorphic, that means it's open. So, and then and the degree one actually. You prove that it has non-zero degree, so that means it's open. And then maybe after, raising a lot, doing a lot more, taking bigger covers in the beginning of the construction, you can actually make it ensure that it has degree one, and that's how you get the isomorphism of the derivative. Yeah, I mean the idea is that maybe some symmetry or something is you take some infinitesimal deformation or something. That has some geometric meaning inside the manifold, and maybe it'll vanish. I don't know. Several people have told me several ideas, and some of them are bound to work, but I haven't written it down. Yeah. Yeah, so that's one thing you do. Yeah, so that was the lie part. Yeah, that I don't know how to prove that's enough. So maybe that's enough. But what you do is you show that in Fujian-Thomas theorem you can actually ensure that the manifolds that bound have gigantic collars, and then you take covers to ensure that to make as many of these disks as you want, cover different boundary components of the resulting manifold, and then you can sort of make the differential zero most of the place. And then you cap off with something. And then since it's really far away, you use like inflexibility or something to say that you haven't really changed the skinning matrix. But yeah, I don't know how to get away with just having a deep collar.